lurching down the ice. He's got a step. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty. And Connor McDavid on fire early.
And there's the goal. And Mike Smith is going to go. As center ice. Talbot and Smith. Who've been on both sides of this Battle of Alberta. This is unbelievable.
This 1 year, 1.5 year here. Getting me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the joint, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So, you know, we need to be better.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. No pod yesterday. It felt like summer again, just every second day or something like that. But I was busy doing a shift at TSN 1260 and then had to do some errands after, so I didn't have the time. Plus, there was no game on Monday, but we're back today and we got lots to get to, as I'll be joined by Reed Wilkins from 630 Ched, of course, host on Inside Sports and Oilers Hockey. We'll also hear from Tyler Ennis and Dave Tippett, mostly Tyler Ennis on the Tim Peel story. We'll get to that here in a bit. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Like I said, Reed Wilkins coming up. We'll hear some audio from the Oilers at, as they met with the media this morning as well. We'll have some fun with that. The Oilers sit second in the North Division at 21-13 with 42 points. They are off this whole week as they won't play tonight or Friday against Montreal Canadiens after the COVID situation involving the Habs. Let's get right to it. Like, I mean, I don't, and we'll ask Reed about this too, but it's a nice break for the Oilers. I said on Monday before we knew the games would get canceled that I was a little concerned about the fatigue, especially heading into that Friday, Saturday. The Oilers have played a ton of games. So this break, it's definitely going to help them in that aspect. They're going to get more practice time, which they probably don't practice a lot with all the games they've been playing. They played 4 last week. They were supposed to play 4 this week. So I think in that sense, it's good. I mean, the team was rolling though. 3 straight wins, 2 impressive wins over a very good Winnipeg Jets team. So in that sense, you want this team to kind of keep going because they were playing good hockey. Now they're going to be off for, 6 complete days since their last game. But I also look at it, it's much needed rest for the big dogs. McDavid, Draisaitl, Nurse, who play a ton of minutes. Plus, Cassian gets more practice time. He's coming back from that injury. He's going to feel a lot better heading into Saturday's game and more healing time from Kyler Yamamoto. Hopefully he's back Saturday. So all in all, I mean, there's a lot, I think in my opinion, at least a lot more good. There's a little bit of bad in this with this such a big break. We'll see how the team responds on Saturday. No excuses. I mean, let's be honest here. And when I say no excuses for either team, because the Oilers last game would be last Saturday and the Leafs only playing one game this week before their game versus the Oilers. So both teams will be well rested. For sure. And I guess one bad sign for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Freddie Anderson out with a lower body injury. He's going to be out for about 7 to 10 days. So he's day to day. But that's the Oilers will get Hutchinson or Jack Campbell. And remember, those goalies were really good in that three game sweep here in Edmonton. So I don't know if that's a break or not. But the Edmonton Oilers, and it's, yeah, listen, I saw a lot of pushback on Twitter on Monday night. Like, why aren't they playing? Like, guys, it's better to miss just this week. They're back at it Saturday. The COVID issue is not with the Oilers. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen with these three games. You're looking at the Oilers schedule, there's not a lot of room there to put three games in. So we'll see what happens schedule wise towards the end of the season for the Edmonton Oilers, because they're going to have to make up these games in Ottawa. Sorry, not Ottawa. Montreal's going to have to make up 4. So schedule makers for the NHL got their work cut out for them for sure. But yeah, no Oilers hockey until Saturday. So on the podcast, I'll probably just have some guests and we'll kind of go back and forth here. Just just maybe revisit the North Division. Look at other divisions as well. Maybe get a full landscape of the other division, because it does feel like Edmonton's in a league of their own here with only the Canadian teams. But there's a lot of interesting stories all around the NHL. So we'll maybe hit on that this week as we set up Toronto-Edmonton on Saturday night. I mean, the big story, obviously, of the day has to be Tim Peel. We all saw what happened last night as he his mic was hot, and it's crazy. And his career as an NHL referee is over. The league announced today that he will no longer be working NHL games now or in the future. But Tim Peel was already made plans to retire next month. So, I mean, take it for what it is. It is what it is. At least he's not going to go out on his own terms. He's not going to be able to celebrate that last game. And this is what he will be remembered for. Definitely a bad look for Tim Peel and the referee. Matt Duchene actually met with Nashville Radio today. He had this to say. He's a veteran ref. It's his last year anyway, so I think that's why maybe they let him go rather than suspending him or fining him. The crazy thing is he was talking to Philip Forsberg in that clip, and he told our bench that. Really bizarre. I just think that can happen. That is bizarre. Like, he's telling the team that he's going to give the penalty to. Like, and listen, I haven't seen the Arvidsson call. They were able to kill it off. It didn't cost them the game, but man, oh man, like, what a story. And if you watch hockey long enough, we all know makeup calls happen. We know it. We can sense it. We call it on Twitter. Oh, there's a makeup call coming. Is it right? No. Hell no. Of course not. You call the game. Well, you want them to call the game according to the rule book, but you know there's makeup calls. If the Edmonton Oilers have four power plays heading into the third and their opponent has zero because the Oilers have played a clean game, so be it. And if that team commits another penalty against the Oilers and it's five power plays to zero, so be it. You can't just try to have each team close on power plays. Like, well, let's Oilers have three, so let's try to make up two calls for the other team. No, that's not how this works. Call the damn game by the rule book. But we shouldn't be surprised this happens, because we've been seeing this for, oh my God, as long as I've been watching hockey. Makeup calls are makeup calls. But do you want it to be part of the game? Of course not. The players are saying it. We're not on the ice. We can't hear what they're saying. But for him just to want to give a penalty to Nashville to even it up, like, come on. That is bizarre. It's ridiculous. The officials here in Edmonton take a lot of heat because of all the missed calls on Connor McDavid. But if your team's playing a clean game and you've got six power plays because the other team is dirty, there's no sense for you to go try to even that up. Call the game how it's supposed to be. I know it's easier said than done. The officials are human. It's a fast game. You miss some calls. Now, this also, if the official misses a call, fair enough. It happens. Shit happens. What are you going to do about it? But don't punish the other team because you missed the call. It's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. And there's a lot of good questions. With different teams, different players today. Just how the officiating changes from the preseason to the regular season into the playoffs. Shouldn't it be all the same? A penalty is a damn penalty. You see in the playoffs, whistles are put away in the third if they go into overtime. So I guess the question I have for you guys is that what you want to see? Just call the game no matter what time of the game it is, what part of the season it is, preseason, regular season, early on, late in the season, and playoffs, whether it's overtime or the third period. It's a tough situation. It's not one that I don't think because of this incident, all of a sudden the makeup calls and all that's going to stop. I don't think that's going to happen, but every team's benefited from I guess in a certain aspect. But I just want to throw this one in. And Andy Petrillo kind of doubled down on this one. She says, makeup calls are part of the fabric of the game. Human error will always exist. Taking away makeup calls and acting like you didn't know they exist takes away the ability to rectify the wrong. Every team you cheer for has benefited from it, and we've all appreciated it. What? Really? What? Yeah, that just blows my mind. That's not a very good take. Of course, we all know makeup calls happen, but I mean, we talked about it on Two Guys the other day. Go back to that Lagesson hit. And I brought it up that they missed one on Cassian that Winnipeg was up in arms about. I think they let the Lagesson cross-check from behind goal because of that. And Dusty lost his mind. And he should have, because two wrongs don't make a right. You missed the Cassian one. You were right in front of the Lagesson one. And just because you missed the first one, you're going to act like you didn't see this one? No, come on. It's ridiculous. Here is Tyler Ennis on this situation as he met with the media earlier today.
First of all, I think, you know, they have a tough job. There's a lot of stuff going on. you know, on the ice that, you know, people don't see, and it's moving quickly. And, you know, we demand a lot. We get fired up. There's a lot of emotions out there. So, you know, tempers are flaring, and you can disagree either way. You know, we get into arguments with the refs a lot, but it usually settles itself out throughout the game. So in a situation like that, you feel for, you know, everyone involved, but at the end of the day, the game has to be called fairly. I think the biggest thing is the standard that needs to be set, you know, from the start of the game or the start of the season throughout. That's what gets frustrating for everybody, is if, you know, something's called a certain way and then maybe it doesn't get called later on. That's the thing that I think upsets people mostly. So if the standard's set, it's like anything. If you set the standard and you call it that way throughout the entirety, then I think everyone understands. But when things get a little bit out of whack is when things get frustrating.
Yeah, well said there by Tyler Ennis here, and this debate's going to go on for a long, long time. We'll see if officials, if we see a trend changing here as we finish out this season. I highly doubt it. I think they're going to continue with the makeup calls and all that, kind of like what we've seen. I mean, if you're watching Oilers games, Connor McDavid, there's about 2-3 missed calls a game. There's makeup calls all the time, almost in every damn game. If the Oilers get 3 straight power plays, you know they're getting the next one. It's just the way it is. Is it right? Hell no, I hate it. But we'll see what comes from this Tim Peel fiasco. All right, guys, coming up next, it is Reed Wilkins from 630 CHED, as we'll talk Oilers, Tim Peel, and the North Division. I'm Hernan Salas, and this is the Locked On Oilers podcast. Hey, and make sure to check out Locker Room. You want a live audio-only sports talk platform? You want to talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time? Locker Room is a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans, perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to all the breaking news. Make sure to come with your spiciest takes. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app, free in the iOS App Store. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. As I now welcome into the Locked On Oilers podcast, Reed Wilkins, host of Inside Sports and Oilers Hockey on 630 Shed. You can connect with Reed on Twitter at Reed Wilkins. Reed, let's get right into it. The Oilers had 3 games this week. They're all off, postponed due to the COVID situation in Montreal. For you, the Oilers were rolling, feeling good, playing some good hockey, coming off 2 big wins against the Winnipeg Jets. Is for you, is this, and I say this because they were playing a ton of hockey, and I know I brought it up on Monday before we knew the game would be postponed, that fatigue might be an issue heading into that Saturday game. Is this pretty good, bad, or both for the Edmonton Oilers right now?
Well, I think rest can always be valuable. I think this is a little longer than they would like. I mean, every player pretty much that I've ever talked to prefers playing to practicing. So maybe an extra day or two is welcome to the body. And it might give someone like Kyler Yamamoto, you know, some time here to feel a little better, and he won't have to hopefully miss any more games. But Dave Tippett said this morning that they kind of did a bit of a simulated game today and scrimmaging and did some 3-on-3 and tried to make it a little more competitive for the players instead of just doing drill after drill. So, you know, I think we'll see. I think the Oilers are you know, structured enough and confident enough that they can get back up and going whenever they do play. But hey, you know, every player has some bumps and bruises and ailments at this once you get into the season. So maybe these days here might help them recover from some of those.
Yeah. So far this season here, since we don't have a game till Saturday, I mean, there's been a lot of real good performances by Edmonton Oilers. You look at a Tyson Berry, a Mike Smith, Jesse Puljujärvi, a Willie Lagesson. I mean, Darnell Nurse has taken that next step. For you, Reed, which one of these names, or even if you have another one you want to throw in there, has been kind of the biggest surprise for you?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Mike Smith. He's one of the top 10 goalies in the NHL this season. And I think just if you base it on this year, he's probably the best goalie in the North Division. We don't know, Connor Hellebuck has a Vezina Trophy at home, but that's for last year. I mean, if you just watched hockey this year, you wouldn't know Mike Smith had just turned 39. You wouldn't know that he was up and down last year and had a really bad stretch in November and December and wasn't good in the playoff start. You would think, heck, the Oilers got one of the best goalies in the league. And I think that's the biggest surprise for Edmonton. And you're right. The other guys are positive stories. But I think I expected quite a bit from Barry. And Nurse's goal scoring is a nice surprise, but I've still always thought he's a pretty good defenseman despite some of the criticism that he faces. So Smith is up there for me, and I got to go with Jesse Puljujärvi as well, just because I had no expectations for him going into the season. I didn't have a prediction. I didn't have any idea how he would do. I didn't know how playing in Finland for a season and a half was going to translate to the National Hockey League. And you're seeing Puljujärvi now is he can impact the game even when he doesn't score. He's starting to be more physical. He's starting to get pucks to the right areas of the ice so other teammates can make plays on them. So, and hey, you know, and he's chipped in some goals as well along the way, some pretty nice ones. So I think Smith and Puljujärvi for me have been the two biggest surprises and both pleasant surprises.
This is kind of it's sticking with the goaltending. Reed, in your opinion, are we going to see Alex Stalock get some games here?
I think if he's healthy enough to play, yes. And okay. I still don't know if that's going to be the situation. I mean, he's just kind of got through the quarantine and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, he did have a heart issue, and I know it's a heart issue that people can recover from, but you know, it was the same condition that eventually led to Mark Letestu retiring when he was with the Winnipeg Jets for the final season of his career. So, that wasn't a goaltender that you add as insurance. I mean, that wasn't a Troy Grosnick who's been AHL goaltender but has only played two NHL games. I mean, Stalock has played, and he's under contract for next season. I think that it's really important to remember that he could be the goalie that the Oilers protect in the expansion draft and winds up maybe being an important part of the team next year. I think preferably they'd like him to get a game this year if he's healthy, or get into games if he's healthy this year. I mean, we've seen obviously that they're leaning heavily towards Smith over Koskinen, that both guys are healthy. Having said that, there's not much to criticize about Mikko Koskinen's performance now that he's not playing every night. I mean, it's not a one-on-one way. It's not a split. Smith is the number one. Koskinen's the backup. But Koskinen has like a 932 save percentage since Smith came back. So the duo is working, but I you don't get a goalie with Stalock's history just to have him sit there as an emergency. I think they'd like to see what he has.
Yeah, I agree with you, Reed. I think we will see him if like you said, healthy enough. And it'll be interesting to see what he can do for the Edmonton Oilers. When you look at the North Division, Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg occupy the top three spots. They've been the most consistent teams, obviously. When you look at that four spot, you got Montreal there now, but you got Vancouver and Calgary just behind them. Reed, if I had to ask you of these three teams, who's going to grab that four spot come May, who would you pick?
Well, I'm not picking Vancouver. I mean, they've played too many games. And what I mean is their point total might have them in the race. Their points percentage doesn't. Yeah. I mean, they've played five more games than the Canadiens and three more than the Flames. So they're not getting in. You know, I had high expectations for the Flames this season. I would like to pick them. But it's not clicking there. And yeah, I mean, they had a little bit of a burst under Sutter, but Edmonton beat them pretty bad. They lost to Ottawa again. And even them, I mean, 4 points behind Montreal, and Montreal has two games in hand. So even there, the math doesn't work for them very well with the probabilities. I mean, they'd have to do something like the Oilers did and go on an 11-2 run, or I mean, they're basically going to have to go. I mean, they'd probably have to win 17 of their remaining
something like
three games. Like, that's probably not going to happen already at this point of the season. And then all those overtime points are helping the Canadiens now, even though they would have liked to win some of those games. So I'd like to pick Calgary. you know, I was high on them before the season simply because I thought Markstrom was going to have a huge impact, but they're just, you watch the Flames and there's still something missing there, even with Sutter. You know, there's just not the digging in. And I hate to use this word because I do believe all pro hockey players are very committed and try very hard, but there just doesn't seem to be that extra level of commitment right now with the Calgary Flames. So you have to give the Canadians the edge, but I think if somebody does track them down, it would be Calgary.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Montreal with nine of those loser points, which is just crazy to think. The Edmonton Oilers have only played in one overtime game so far this season. Just a few more for you here, Reed. The trade deadline this year, I don't think is probably going to be the slowest we've ever seen. Do you see the Oilers doing anything?
I could see them doing a little bit, but I don't see them getting a big name. And I mean, Ken Holland's already outlined it. It has to be money in and money out. Yeah. You know, Rob and I get asked every overtime open line about Taylor Hall. I mean, that's not happening. You're going to have to trade out $8 million. I mean, sure, could Buffalo retain some salary? Well, okay, then you got to give Buffalo. I mean, teams aren't going to do the Oilers a favor, you know, just because they feel like they want them to win. So, I mean, he could tweak. I think maybe if he could get a veteran for relatively cheap, and you know, there'd still have to be some money outgoing in that situation. I mean, I'm sure he would love to help the penalty kill, but I don't think the Oilers are going to be the team in Canada making a splash. Now, at least that they could be adding. I mean, at least we're in that situation as opposed to a few years ago where we were always talking about selling off assets and trying to get draft picks. But I think it's been telegraphed. I mean, if there's going to be a splash team in Canada, it's going to be the Leafs. Kyle Dubas came out and said it. He's going for it this year, and he's going for it with this core of players. And then, you know, maybe the Jets try to add a top four defenseman. Unfortunately, the dollars just don't work very well for Edmonton for them to bring in like a really significant player.
Or Reed, those Taylor Hall texts are absolutely the best, and I know they keep rolling in all over Edmonton.
Well, he was never this popular when he played here. When he played here, I just kept hearing from people that he was like apparently a bad human being, which I don't know how people decided that they knew that about him. And now that he's been gone, look, let's get him back. So
Yeah,
I mean, he's a great player. It just been a horrible season for everybody in Buffalo. But if Holland can figure out a way to make that work and not give up a bunch of prospects, then the more power to him. But I think that'd be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, and last one here, the story of the day, of course, Tim Peel's hot mic last night. And listen, we all know that there's makeup calls in this game. We've watched enough hockey to know this stuff kind of happens. I just want to get kind of your thoughts on everything that went down last night and into today. I mean, he was going to retire anyway at the end of this season or around April 24th. What do you make of this Tim Peel situation, Reed?
Well, on one level, I feel bad for him because he won't get to work his final months of games and kind of go out, you know, celebrating his career. And look, I know some people don't like him. That's the role of a referee. You're not going to be popular with everybody. Look, what happened was he got caught saying something that we all know happens.
Yes.
You know, I was in touch with the three or four former players this morning, and they all said it's not right, but makeup calls and refs managing the game like that happens all the time. You know, it's weird to me that he would kind of admit it that openly, and Matt Duchene actually claims he was talking to a Predators player when he said that, which is kind of like, why would you go say that to, you know, like that's just weird. But I guess maybe it's more insight into some of the banter that goes on the ice. I think officiating is hard. I do think it's you know, a little bit low hanging fruit sometimes just to slam the refs, because I do think it's a really tough job. But I think it opens it up. Like if one team has committed five fouls and the other team hasn't committed any, then the power play should be 5-0. It shouldn't be 5-2 just because, well, 5-0 doesn't look very good.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I know there's a lot of takes out there now, but it's just it's almost like it's people are saying, well, it happens anyway. No one should be surprised. He just got caught, and it's surprising that he's the first one to ever get caught with those mics and all that. I'm sure they're not
I wonder now if the mics are gone.
Yeah, that too, right?
Do we need the penalties being announced, especially in an empty arena? At least for this year.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the commentator will let us know anyway, right? And we can all pretty much figure out the signs. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting situation for sure. Reed, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. Always always a good time chatting hockey with you. And we're all back at it on Saturday when the Oilers meet the Leafs. But for now, enjoy the nights off, Reed.
Okay, see ya.
There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. The NHL is well underway, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore and get in on the action. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Right, guys, it's Locked On Oilers podcast here. I'm Hernan Salas, your host. A lot of Tim Peel discussion all over the social media, radio, sports world. So yeah, it's definitely something that's not going to go away here in a day. But man, it was interesting what Reed said also about will they take the mics away now? And it's funny that this hasn't happened before. It's a little unfortunate. I saw this last night and I was like, is this real? And I couldn't believe it. And then seeing Duchesne saying that he was saying that actually to the national player and bench, it's so bizarre. So we'll see if the refs, the mics are something that gets taken away. I think if they do, that's kind of shady on behalf of the NHL. And I want to know what you think of this whole thing. I know we posted it on 1260's Facebook and there's a lot of different takes here. I mean, you're never happy a guy losing his job, especially a month away from retiring, but man, it's not a good look. It's not. And I'm one of those guys that, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you would agree with me, like we've kind of used to how the officials manage a game, but I would love them to just call the damn game by the rule book. And I don't care if it hurts your team, if it helps your team, just call the damn penalties that are penalties. Are you going to miss some? Sure. I mean, it's a fast game. You're out there, you miss things. No one's going to be too hard on you, but when it's consistently like this and you're managing the game the way you want it, like that's taking it a little too far, but it's become the norm in the NHL. All right, guys, let's get to the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers as he also met with the Edmonton media today, and let's kick it off with lots of practice time now for the boys. You know, the NHL players like to they like to play in games more than they do practice, but the Oilers haven't had a lot of practice time. They've had a busy month. So here's Dave Tippett on having more days to practice ahead of their game on Saturday.
We actually played today, so lots of scrimmage today. We did a few drills and then had a couple periods of scrimmage, so they got to play today. We played a little 3-on-3, so that part of it, I think the same as you just mentioned, they like to play. So we're, you know, it's a little bit different, but we do have some practice time. There's some things that we want to work on, but we also got to be cognizant of, you got to keep them fresh minded. And so we got out there, played a little bit. They had some fun playing against each other, and Mike Smith gave up 2 bad goals and pulled himself already. So it's, it was a good day.
Mike Smith pulled himself after 2 bad goals in the Oilers scrimmage today. Only 2 more days, boys. Only 2 more days of practice and you'll be right back at it. Dave Tippett was also asked about knowing that the game was canceled Monday. We all thought maybe they'd go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off, then Friday, Saturday. That didn't happen. Then we found out yesterday the 3 games against Montreal would be postponed. And he was asked if the NHL and Kenny Holland, was there any talk about finding a game this week to kind of move the schedule along?
I think there's been lots of talk going on. I know Ken was at a call with the league again this morning. I haven't talked to him since then, but there's lots of conversations going on. As far as I know now, we're Saturday night in Toronto, and that's what we're kind of focusing on, but the rest of it is still a work in progress, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Would have been nice to get in a game here probably midweek, but everybody else is good to go in the NHL, so that's something that's not going to happen and would have been difficult to do for the NHL. And lastly here, they had to ask Dave Tippett, and here he is on the Tim Peel situation.
Well, I haven't, just somebody mentioned to me about Timmy. I haven't seen the thing with what they're talking about here yet, so I haven't heard it or anything, but you know, I don't know. It's a tough job for the referees. You know, you talk about all the time, you can come out of it and both teams seem like they've got the same amount of penalties. Now you can find games that's not true also. So whether it's you know, making sure that both teams are get their fair share of power plays or whatever it is, that's what the perceived game management is. I think you've probably seen less of it, you know, this year with no fans. I think that's one of the things, that is kind of a, seems like has affected the game is the, there's no outside pressure for anything, for players or referees or, you know, that outside, the fan pressure from the game and the emotion and that comes with that affects both, I think, players, fans, or players, referees, and coaches. So a little bit different this year. But I don't know. I don't know if there's much to game management from the referee's point. I mean, there's game management from coach's point that sometimes is affected by what the referees do. But ultimately, I haven't seen it. I got to see it before I can comment too much on it.
That was Dave Tippett talking about his team with the extra practice time, days off, and all that from games, obviously, and on the Tim Peel situation. And he brought up a good point. Like, is it easier for the officials now to call the game with no fans because you don't get the pressure from the home fans? And it should be easier. You would think. Will we see a change? I highly doubt it, but only time will tell. All right, guys, it's going to wrap up this edition of Locked On Oilers podcast. No Oiler action until Saturday. Ugh, it's truly, truly sucks. But Saturday will be great to see the boys nice and refreshed and ready to go here for the long stretch and hopefully locking down a playoff spot. Now, you want to connect with me, hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and I Locked On Oilers. Let me know who's been the biggest surprise for you from the Edmonton Oilers. Reed picked Jess Pliarvi and Mike Smith. I want to hear from you on that as well. Let me know. And I also want to hear your take on this Tim Peel situation. Let me know what your thoughts are. Man, what a story to break. Some news at least with no Oiler hockey. So once again, hit me up on my Twitters there, Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. All right, guys, don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For my producer, Juanito, this has been the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll chat tomorrow.